Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Stowe Cider, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Let's Grow Kids, The Alchemist Brewery, and by UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, as well as nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. In this half hour, we're going to speak with two leaders in the Vermont legislature to talk about the legislative session that has ended, well, in the case of the Senate, it has just ended today. Representative Ann Pugh is the chair of the House Committee on Human Services. She has been a state representative since 1993, which I believe makes her one of the longest serving elected officials in the state. And we're also joined on the line by Senator Ginny Lyons. She is chair of the Senate Committee on Health and Welfare. She is also a professor of social work at UVM. Senator Lyons and Representative Pugh, thanks to both of you for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here. And just so you know, this, Senator Lyons is a professor of biology, and I think Representative Pugh is the professor of social work.
Okay, good. As I started to say that, I had this mental panic thinking I may have just crossed them up here. So thank you for the correction. Well,
excuse me. Hi, David. This is Ann Pugh. And just to, be completely accurate, my title is senior lecturer and faculty field liaison. In the world of academia, that makes a difference.
Yes. No, I recognize. It's sort of like jumping a rank in the military. You don't just smile as somebody says you're a general when you're only a sergeant.
Well, I promoted her because I think she is quite capable.
Well, let me start with Representative Ann Pugh. And it was quite a exciting to open the New York Times a week ago and see a photograph of you and Representative Maxine Grad, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, on a national story about the abortion rights bill that had just passed the Vermont legislature. Pugh, you were a lead co-sponsor of that bill. Can you talk a little bit about the abortion rights bill and what led you to take a leadership role on it?
I would be happy to. And I do have to admit that I've never been in the New York Times, and it appeared on my birthday.
Wow. So that's quite a birthday present.
It was quite a birthday present. And having grown up outside of New York City, it was my friends and family thought it was wonderful. What the legislation that I co-sponsored along with Maxine Grad and Jill Krawinski does very simply is to codify what has been the practice and sort of policy in Vermont for more than the past 40 years. Vermont, up until this, Vermont has had no laws, has been silent on abortion. And given the threat to reproductive freedom and given the threat to reproductive rights that we are seeing across the country, I thought it was really important to codify and to be clear, and so that Vermonters are clear that they have the right to carry a child to term. They have a right to have use contraception. They have a right for sterilization, right for adoption, and a right to have an abortion.
What exactly does this law, and I should we should point out there's two things that have gone on. One is the beginning of a constitutional amendment process to enshrine women's right to an abortion in the Vermont Constitution. The other is a law that Well, perhaps you can explain and distinguish what these two things going forward do.
Well, first I want to thank Senator Lyons for being one of the lead sponsors of the constitutional amendment. The two work in concert with each other. What the legislation, which is known as H-57, will do is it will protect reproductive health care rights in Vermont right now, and as soon as it becomes law. It will it prohibits the action of government to interfere with those reproductive health care rights.
Let me just ask, let's put it in the current context. We have states, Ohio is the latest, Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, that are passing these so-called fetal heartbeat bills, which is stating that as soon as a fetal heartbeat can be detected, as early as 6 weeks, often before a woman even knows she's pregnant, that fetus has the full rights of personhood. What's to protect Vermont from having a governor and a legislature that pushes through a law like that, now that you've passed, the legislature has passed the law that it has?
I will, a legislature cannot bind any other legislature from making amendments or laws. As long as H-57 will be the law of Vermont, the governor cannot pass any regulation or rule that will limit an individual's access to the full range of reproductive health care services. I'll turn it over to Senator Lyons to perhaps talk about her work with the constitutional amendment and how that will, if passed, play.
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. First of all, a constitutional amendment serves as an umbrella for fundamental rights, the same rights that are in H-57, in the legislation that was just passed. But in this case, the only way that a law could become effective, when the constitutional amendment is in place, the only way that a law could be made effective would be if it represents a compelling state interest in the least restrictive means. So this really is language that we have gotten from Roe versus Wade. And it really reflects, as Representative Pugh said, it reflects the way Vermont has been for the past nearly 50 years. So you brought up, David, you brought up state laws that have recently been passed, and there's one that has just been approved by the courts by Indiana, saying that there's a legitimate state interest in having the aborted material buried or cremated. That legitimate state interest is different from what our constitutional amendment represents. Our constitutional amendment would say it must be a compelling state interest. It must be, we must look at this very narrowly. So the constitutional amendment really places that umbrella for strict scrutiny over any law that might be passed in the state of Vermont. So it gets down to how the Supreme Court would act whenever a law might be challenged with respect to abortion. We're very excited about having all of the voters vote on the constitutional amendment in 2 years, because I think it does represent Vermont's values and Vermont's views. I hope that's been a little bit clear.
Yeah. Well, so Senator Lyons, I'm curious, as you read the news, see the news, you know, sweeping the country, these anti-abortion bills, and other state legislatures passing what many of their leaders acknowledge to be patently unconstitutional laws. You're a state legislator. How do you react to that?
Well, I'm a little bit dumbfounded, to be quite honest, because I think these laws really ignore the human condition. They ignore women and women's rights, and they're really put in place simply to challenge the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade from 1973. Yeah, you know, there may be some sincerity behind this. I really do believe there are some people who have their own set beliefs. But it is certainly not part of a civil society. It's not part of the constitutional interpretation. Why would we want to foist our categorical beliefs? Why would we want to put our beliefs on others? In a democracy, we allow for a diversity of beliefs and understanding. So that's what I think about when I see this. I just think it challenges the democratic process in many ways. And I'm fearful on one hand, but I'm very hopeful on the other that our judicial system will see through the sort of the facade.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're speaking in this half hour with Representative Ann Pugh. She's chair of the House Committee on Human Services, and Senator Ginny Lyons. She is chair of the Senate Committee on Health and Welfare. If you want to join this conversation, you can call us at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Representative Pugh, I wonder if you could tell us what are some of the accomplishments or the important issues that have moved through your committee, the House Committee on Human Services, that people should be aware of this session?
Well, thank you, David, because, in fact, House Human Services did a lot of work in addition to work that we did around reproductive freedom. We did work focused on child care, and that was a committee bill that had unanimous support not only by the House, the committee itself, but also the House. It includes ultimately just over $7 million in new funding for child care. We know that child care is important for as an economic development supporting tool. It's an important piece for families, and it's an important piece to enable children to thrive. To support the child care industry, we increased the reimbursement rates for providers and to make child care more affordable and more accessible. We increased the subsidies for low-income families. And additionally, it's a field for which we need more people in the workforce. And so we addressed that workforce shortage by directing some dollars towards loan repayment and scholarships for people who are working or interning in a child care center, and also by trying to create a pipeline of new workers by identifying the technical centers as a place to provide curriculum around this. So that's one thing that we did. Another sort of initiative that came out of House Human Services were initiatives related to public health and reducing smoking in youth, particularly vaping, which is reaching a crisis, an epidemic proportion.
not only across the country, but in Vermont. Our school principals are talking about how it's becoming a discipline problem in schools.
Let me jump in on that question. This is an interesting question because readers of any local newspapers this week are seeing full-page ads taken out by Juul, one of the makers of e-cigarettes, urging legislators to pass a law saying that raising the age from 18 to 21 for when people can use e-cigarettes. Now, at first glance, this looks very puzzling. A company demanding more restrictions on their product. What's going on here?
I'm just glad that they're on the same page as we are in public health. I think that...
is that what you think is really going on there, though? Or are they basically, this is a last gasp because they're afraid of being banned entirely?
You know, you'll have to ask them. I think public opinion as well as science and public health and doctors and all sorts of individuals have moved to an understanding that tobacco use is harming, and that what we have learned is that the earlier that you smoke or at this point vape, the harder it will be for you to quit. And so I think that they are... And if we want to keep it out of the hands of children, you want to raise the age to a point where people are less likely to be in high school.
Okay, well, we have a caller on the line. Joe is calling from South Burlington. Joe, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you.
What's your question for Senator Lyons or Representative Pugh?
My question goes like this. I know that you're both advocates for the vulnerable Vermonters, but my question is, where is the advocacy for the most vulnerable, for the voice of the unwanted unborn child? I don't see any balance here. It's all one way.
Okay, thanks for your question, Joe. Senator Lyons, we were just, you want to take a turn at answering that?
Sure, I'll be glad to do that. You know, this is kind of the undercurrent discussion, but Vermont has, for nearly 50 years, had absolutely no laws in place with regard to abortion. And so what we're doing currently with the new law in place and with the proposed constitutional amendment is to ensure that those Vermont values are upheld. So the debate can go on. We do have jurisprudence in our state on when viability might be considered in a court case. But what we're doing is really reassuring that we continue to have what we currently have in the state.
Representative Ann Pugh, do you want to respond to that?
Hi, Joe. You and I have had this conversation on numerous occasions, and I respect that we differ as to what is the role of government. And Vermont has a long history of being silent, even when they could have, being silent on any restrictions on reproductive health care. And what H 57 does is codify what has been the Vermont set of practices, beliefs, and it is not meant to... H 57 neither encourages nor discourages that freedom.
I want to turn to the final minutes that we have here. the end of the session. And I gather, Senator Lyons, your session is ending or has just ended today. House adjourned on Friday. So let's start there. What happened? This was a bit of a head-smacking finale where Speaker Mitzi Johnson issued an ultimatum to Senate Pro Tem Tim Ash on Friday saying, give us your final compromises on the issues of minimum wage and paid family leave, or we're leaving. And Mitzi Johnson, the speaker, then adjourned the House, having failed to reach agreement with the Senate. So I realize that you both may have a different perspective on this based on the body that you sit in. So, Senator Lyons, what's your take on how this ended? It certainly was a strange finale.
Well, you know, it does appear that way. After a weekend of reflection on for myself, at least, I think that both the Senate and the House worked very carefully and very hard to get to some resolution to both the minimum wage and the paid family leave issues. And it didn't happen. And this happens sometimes. You know, we didn't get to closure, but we still have an opportunity to work between now and next January and to come back with some ideas that might be a negotiated agreement. I think that what Representative Pugh was talking about, the child care bill that committee worked on so hard, the child care bill ended up being in the budget. That was a stretch for us because our committee and the Senate had worked extremely hard on the child care bill, and we were looking forward to conferencing with the House Human Services. But that didn't happen because of the money involved, and that we wanted to also to provide benefit to some folks and reach up in other welfare programs. So this sometimes happens. Things don't go exactly the way we think they're going to. I personally think that we still have an opportunity to finalize both of these issues.
We just have a minute left, but Representative Ann Pugh, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, as am I, you have a supermajority in the legislature, and yet two branches of the legislature of the same party could not agree. Why'd that happen? And you'll have to make it quick as we're about to finish.
I would say why that happened. I'm not quite sure what a supermajority is. And two, that is assuming that all members who identify as a Democrat or a progressive think exactly alike.
All right. I think we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry to cut you off in the middle of that. But Representative Ann Pugh and Senator Ginny Lyons, I want to thank you for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
Well, thank you.
And that does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can tune in next Wednesday at 1 or always at VermontConversation.com. I'm David Goodman. Thanks for listening. The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as Salvation Farms, which nourishes Vermont by distributing produce farmers can't sell. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, community, and economy. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, a proud B Corp using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. And by Stowe Cider, with crisp, clean, and creative award-winning flavors. Visit the tasting room in Stowe or buy Stowe Cider throughout New England, upstate New York, and Washington, D.C. as well as nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.